am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I already have. They were given to me by the Father. They're not of this fold. Them also I must bring, I will bring. And they shall, no question about it, hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, one church, one body, one bride, one kingdom. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. The death of Christ was not ordered by men. It was ordered by God. It was not their will that was done. It was God's will that was done. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. He did. He raised himself from the grave. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among these Jews, these religious Jews, for these sayings. The real cause of division between those who are sheep, followers, disciples of Christ, who love Christ. The real cause of division today between those who love Christ and the vast religious world is not the particular days we observe. That's not the issue. It's not the form or traditions of religion or the manner or mode of worship. It's not the ordinances, sacraments, some call them, or how we observe them. It's not the government or discipline or order of churches and congregations. The real dividing issue was then, is now, is for these sayings, these doctrines. This has always been the issue. Turn back to Luke 4. Listen to this. You read this so many times. Look at it again. When he came to Nazareth, surrounded by all the religion, laws, ordinances, morality, all these things, he told them who he is, a sovereign Savior. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Defining the grace of God and salvation. Verse 28, Luke 4. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Why? What he did? His morality, his good works? No, what he said. His message, the gospel. Turn with me to John 8, just back a page or two from our text. John 8, verse 56. In John chapter 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it. Abraham saw Christ. Saw the day of Christ. Saw the sacrifice of Christ. Saw the redemption that he would effect. And he was glad. And these Jews said to him, you're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They knew who he said he was there. They knew what he was saying. I am. Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me? What is thy name? God spoke out of the bush and said, I am that I am. And here he said, before Abraham ever existed, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. It's what he said. Who he is. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? What did he do? Where is he now? That's the issue. That is the division. Look, if you will, at John 10, my text. John 10, verse 28. 27, John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. My Father gave me to them and them to me. He's greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. How do they react to that? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The real dividing issue is the gospel. The gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. Salvation is the work of God, not the works of men. Redemption is by the will of God, not by the will of men. He said, I come to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which he hath given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Salvation is not an offer. It's a gift. Please. Salvation is not an offer. It's the gift of God. Is it not? The gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. That's the division. Redemption, faith, obedience. That's not an invitation, that's a command. Does the Bible say God invites men to repent? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's a command of God. That's not an invitation. We don't have a prerogative. To love one another, is that an invitation? That's a command. This is my commandment, he said, that you love one another. This is a commandment. The law of God is that you love God with all your heart and your neighbors yourself. I don't do it, somebody says. That's still his law. That's a commandment. That's not an invitation. We go forth commanding men to believe the gospel. It's God's word. They ought to believe it. The righteousness of God is not ours. It's Christ's righteousness. His blood atonement is not an offer. His blood atonement is an effectual work. I finished the work you gave me to do. I lay down my life for my sheep. He said that over and over again. Just, I lay down my life for the sheep. I love my sheep. I know my sheep. I call them by name. Isn't that what he said? I call them by name. His atonement is particular. His atonement is effectual. His atonement is not conditional on the acts of men. It is not conditional. His atonement will not work if you let it. His atonement works. His blood does not cleanse you if you let it. His blood cleanses. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth. It's not in my hand to use it like I would use a bar of soap or a cleansing powder. The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. God's covenant people. He calls them his elect. He calls them his sheep. He calls them Israel. He calls them sons of Jacob. He says they're chosen. They're called. They're justified. They're glorified in Christ Jesus. And they shall come. They shall come. He said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. They will lovingly, willingly, perseveringly come to me. And never leave me. And I'll never leave them. That's as sure as there's a God in heaven who reigns on a throne. Well, verse 20, many said he has a devil. You've heard that before, haven't you? A fellow said to Brother Barnard after I heard him preach one time, very religious fellow. He said, your sovereign God's my devil. And here they said of the master, he has a devil. He's crazy. Why do you people hear him? They're talking about Christ. They're talking about the Son of God. He has a devil. He's crazy. He's mad. He's insane. Why do you hear him? Well, I would have you remember one thing. Turn to Matthew 10. Remember the words of our Lord here now, Matthew 10, verse 24. Matthew 10, 24. When you express these beliefs among your circle of family, friends, or whomever, religious friends and family, and everybody's family is religious. Everybody I know is religious. But when you express your confidence and hope and faith in these words of our Lord, and they call you a devil, call you insane, you've lost your mind, remember these words here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. Remember that the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub a devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, if they think he's crazy, they know I am. If they think he's a devil, if they call him a devil, I shouldn't object to anything they call me. I should be thankful that I'm accorded the privilege of being in the same company with such an awesome master and teacher. So if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those servants of the house? The attack is upon the message. But look at verse 21. Some of these people didn't blindly follow these religious leaders. Some of these people didn't pay any attention to these so-called doctors and scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders who said, don't listen. Why do you people hear him? He is a devil. He's crazy. Some of them thought for themselves. Some of them didn't follow the tradition, forms, and works. They considered the words of Christ themselves, and this is what they said. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. I may not be very smart, they were saying, but I know better than that. I don't have to blindly follow some religious tradition or some religious authority just because somebody said he's an authority. I can think for myself, and these are not the words of a devil. That's what these fellows say. These are not the words of a devil. A devil doesn't glorify God. A devil doesn't glorify God and give him all the praise and the glory like Jesus Christ did. A devil doesn't glorify God. A devil glorifies himself. A devil cannot open blind. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? These are not the words of a madman. A madman does not speak words of grace and mercy and love and wisdom. These are not the words of a devil. These are not the words of a madman. These are the words of God. And then in verse 22 through 24, listen to this. It was at Jerusalem, right here, the capital of religion, right in the... This is like standing in front of a thing in Rome, you know, with the religion, the Feast of the Dedication. It's winter. Oh, they've gathered there for their religious feast. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then here they came again, these religious leaders. They said to him, they came round about him, they said, how long do you make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now the disciples believed Christ to be, or the Jesus of Nazareth, they believed Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ. The Old Testament, from Genesis 3:15 to Malachi, talks about the woman's seed, the Passover, the messenger of the covenant, the desire of all nations, the Christ, the one to whom mate. Of whom Moses wrote, to whom Abraham looked, of whom David spoke, the Christ, the Christ, the Christ. And the disciples believed Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And secondly, they believed Jesus of Nazareth to be the Son of God. The Christ, now listen carefully to me here, the Christ, God. Now let's follow that. Turn to John 6. This is what they believed. This is what our Lord commanded. But he commended them for their faith in him. And the fact they believe he's the Christ and he's the Son of God. Listen to John 6, verse 69, or 67. John 6, 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you leave me? Will you go away from me? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe. And we believe and assure two things. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a summary of our faith. Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Christ. You are God. Now that's the testimony and foundation of the church. Back in Matthew 16. Listen to what our Lord said here in Matthew 16. How he commended that testimony. Matthew 16:15. You have it, Matthew 16:15. I want you to look at it. He said to them, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Reveal what to thee? I am the Christ, I am God. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. And I say that thou art Peter, not Simon anymore. You're Peter, a stone, a rock. And upon this rock, this testimony, not upon Peter. God, Christ didn't build his church on Peter. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the church. But he built his church on this testimony. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What testimony? The church is built on this testimony. I have no doubt, I believe, I'm sure, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He's God. And this is the first confession of every believer. Turn to the book of Acts. This is the very first confession. This is where it all starts. This is the first confession of every believer. Before he's baptized, before he confesses before men. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Acts 8, 36. And as they went on their way, Acts 8, 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip's been preaching the gospel to him. And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, if you believe what? Well, what I've been preaching to you. They've had a long conversation. You may. And he answered, he knew what Peter was asking, or what Philip was asking. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, is God. He's the Son of God. And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and Philip baptized him. On that confession, I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God. And I'll tell you, turn to Revelation 1. This is the testimony, sum and substance of those in glory. Revelation 1, verse 4. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Revelation 1, 4. Listen, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come. From the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. There it is. That's when we sum it all up. He's the Christ. He's the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the king. He's the Son of God. And these Pharisees, this is what they're asking him, John 10. Are you the Christ? See that in verse 24. How long do you make us doubt? Are you the Christ? Talking to Jesus of Nazareth. Well, they weren't serious. They weren't serious. They weren't inquiring like I am and you are. Who he is. They didn't have an open heart, a sincere heart, an honest heart. They weren't asking for information or instruction. They were asking in order that they might take his words to Herod and say, this man says he's the king. These men didn't have an honest heart. These men, they didn't have a sincere inquiry. If they had, he'd have revealed himself to them. But they were hypocrites. But John 7, verse 14, listen. Now, in the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled. They said, how knoweth this man letters? How does this man know learning, having never... He didn't go to their schools. He didn't go to their seminaries and school. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine's not mine. It's his that sent me. Now, if any man... That's broad, isn't it? If any man will do his will, do the will of God, know the will of God, love the will of God, bow to the will of God, receive the will of God, any man will do the will of God, he'll know of the doctrine, whether it's of God or whether it's of the flesh. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true. No unrighteousness in him. That would be spoken not only of our Lord talking about himself, but any preacher. He's seeking his own glory. His doctrine is not true. Or the glory of his denomination, or the glory of his organization, or the glory of his own program. But he that seeks the glory of God, no unrighteousness in him. If you may will to know, he'll know. Verse 25, let's see how he answered these fellows with the insincere hearts, with the unbelieving hearts, with the hypocritical hearts, with a diabolical purpose, not to bow to him, but to destroy him. Verse 25, Jesus answered them. They said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He answered them, I told you. I told you. You didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Our Lord has a lot of witnesses. Over in John 5, he said John the Baptist was a witness. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. You rejoice for a season in his words. The works that I do, they bear witness of me. The Father bears witness of me. He said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Scriptures, let's look at that in John 5. The Scriptures. He talks about the Scriptures. These men were so proud of their knowledge of the Scriptures. They were so diligent in searching the Scriptures. They were arguing the Scriptures. In John 5, verse 39, our Lord said, search the Scriptures, or you do search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have life. You think you have life in the Scriptures, in the form, in the ceremony, in the ritual, in the laws, in the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me. The Scriptures bear witness of me. Now I'm going to say something here. I want you to listen to it and weigh it heavily and think about it. This is where the difference lies. He said, look back at my text, John 10, verse 25. They said, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. He said, I told you. I told you. The Father told you. John the Baptist told you. The works tell you. The Scriptures tell you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. I said to you, my sheep, hear my word, and they follow me. The difference. Old Brother Muse used to say, don't move a hand nor a hair. The difference between a sheep and a non-sheep. Saved man, lost man, is the sheep. The saved man believes the Word of God. He hears the Word of God, he believes it. He receives it, he loves it, he bows to it. You believe not, because you're not of my sheep. I'm not a sheep because I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God because I'm a sheep. Think about it now. I'm not a sheep because I believe the Word of God. I believe the word of God because I'm a sheep. And that man doesn't believe it because he's not a sheep. If he were a sheep, if he were one of God's children, he said, if you were my sheep, you'd hear my word. That's just so. This is the test. That's what Christ said to those Pharisees, my words will judge you. The words Moses wrote will judge you, he said, because you don't believe them. The sheep of Christ hear his voice. Listen, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them. They know me. I love them. They follow me. You see, the sheep of Christ hear his word. They hear it not only externally, they hear it internally. These people who are here this morning, who are sheep of Christ, they're not just hearing these words externally, they're hearing them in their hearts. You used to say when you sat back there, an unbeliever, why are these people nodding their head? They can't help it. It's like a string in here in their hearts. You know, it's a puppet is one that has a string up here. It blows his head, somebody else pulling it. But a believer in his heart, when the word of God is preached, he loves it and believes it, his heart pulls his head. in his heart. That's so. That's a blessing. That's why, you know now, because you know you did it, just did it. Oh, that's a little private understanding between us. He said one time when he used to come to church here, before he heard the gospel, Brother Ron, Elder Ron, he said, I wonder why those folks down there nodded their head. He said, now I know. You hear the word not only externally, but internally. The Lord gives them ears in the heart to hear his word. The Lord gives them understanding in the heart. The Lord gives them faith in the heart. The Lord gives them eyes to behold and see the wisdom and the grace and the beauty of the word of God. My sheep, you be the Christ, tell us plainly. I told you. If you will to do God's will, you'd know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak of God. But I tell you, my sheep hear my voice. You don't believe because you're not of my sheep. If you're my sheep, you'd believe. But my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them, listen, I give them eternal life. What is this eternal life? Well, I give them spiritual life, divine life, born again, life from above, the life of God. I give them myself. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. He revealed his Son in me. My Father and I take up our abode within the believer. He gives them the knowledge of himself. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him, the true God. Believers understand. They know God. They hear certain words that some folks think really are honoring to God. They know they're not honoring to God. They know they're blaspheming because they know God. See, the difference is they know God, and these people don't know God. These people talk religiously. They think everything they say that's religious, you know, God ought to appreciate it, but he doesn't. And a true believer who knows God, he knows when a word is spoken that gives God the glory and one that doesn't. One that's spoken in praise, real, honest, glorifying God, he'll recognize it. You know your wife, and you know what pleases her and what doesn't. You wives know your husband, you know what pleases him and what doesn't. And he may be out somewhere and somebody says something, he may smile, but you know he didn't. He's just being nice. That didn't please him. And you who have an understanding of the life of God in you, you know what pleases God and what's offensive. You do. He gives us righteousness, which entitles us to glory. He gives us a foretaste of heaven right here on this earth. I heard a preacher this morning on television describing the life of faith. He said, this is a tough road. This is a hard road. This is a hard endeavor. It takes a man to be a Christian. He kept on. Listen, I turned to Doris and I said, his yoke is easy. His burden's light. Faith's not a hard road. The way of the transgressor's hard. That man didn't know the way of the transgressor's hard. The way of faith is easy. The way of faith's the road of peace. It's when you get out of that road you have it hard. Isn't that right? When we walk in our own pride, and that's when we have it hard. But loving Christ ain't hard. being a believer is a joy. That man had it right. But I tell you, trying to live the Christian life without Christ would be pretty difficult. He said, I give them eternal life. I give them the earnest and pledge of life, the Holy Spirit. Now, one other thing, I'll let you go. And they'll never perish. I give them eternal life, they'll never perish. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you think about them. You think about this. They'll never perish. We have this life in Christ. Our representative is hid with Christ in God. And the sheep will never, it's secure, it's sure, it's certain, they'll never perish. What kind of head is Jesus Christ if the body perish? What kind of shepherd is Jesus Christ if the sheep perish? Come on now. What kind of husband is Jesus Christ if he loses his bride? One of them, any of them. What kind of priest is Jesus Christ if his sacrifice fails? What kind of physician is Jesus Christ if the patient dies? Not much, is it? What kind of king is Jesus Christ when he steps up to his throne and his subjects are not there? The next time anybody talks to you about the possibility of a believer losing his salvation, just walk away from that fool. Don't even honor his statement with a reply. What kind of shepherd would Christ be if he lost his sheep? What kind of husband if he lost his bride? Come on now. What kind of high priest, if he puts his blood on the mercy seat and somebody for whom he placed it there didn't make it to glory? The demons of hell would laugh throughout eternity. You said they'll never perish, but I've got them. That's stupidity. Neither shall any man, listen, pluck them out of my hand. Whose hand? My hand. My Father which gave them all is greater than me, and no man will pluck them out of my Father's hands. In his hands. Listen to me. I was in his hands before I was ever in Adam's loins. Isn't that right, Cecil? Isn't that right? I was in his hands before I was ever in Adam's loins, before I ever fell. I was in his hands. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. As in his hand, as his possession, my sheep. As in his hand, under his care, they'll never perish. As in his hand, to be protected and delivered by him, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Firm as his throne, this gospel stands. My Lord, my hope, my trust. If I am one in his great hands, my soul will never be lost. His honor is engaged to save the weakest of his sheep. All that the Heavenly Father gave, his hands will eternally keep. Nor death nor hell shall ever remove his chosen from his breast. In that great bosom of his love, they all forever rest. What a gospel. What a Savior. What good news.